Okay, it's,
Whoa, we're starting before midnight.
Oh, I can't say that. This is Halloween, huh? 4 minutes until Halloween.
4 minutes. Oh, the best day of the year.
What'd you go to your game as?
Well, I went masquerading as a competent writer. Boom! Self-burn. All right, so yeah, I was out... Where was I? Victor Valley, Silverado... In Victorville,
yeah,
which would be both of them, but at Victor.
Did you possibly lose brain cells this game?
I might have. It was a...
Sounded like it was a slog.
Yeah. I feel like I was, like, slogged in the head several times with, like, some kind of large fruit. Like a pineapple. That would hurt. If you got hit over and over again in the head with a pineapple. Anyway, it was not a great game. Just wasn't at all. You know, it's kind of a rivalry game, sort of, so you kind of, like, it's like, oh, you know, rivalry game, it's not pretty, but it's like, oh, there's, I don't know, it's just not, like, not a super passionate rivalry game, I wouldn't say, like, you know, they're friends with each other and stuff, and it's not like there's, like, the emotion takes it to a place where it's like, oh, well, yeah, it wasn't a good game, but it was entertaining, it was not.
Yeah.
Bad, just boring.
And that first half, from what it sounded like, was...
Yeah,
we said that was actually the more entertaining one, but
it was because yeah, the defense was good. It was kind of entertaining. You know, it was only 7-6 or Victor at halftime. In the third quarter, Silverado scored I think 19 points, and that was pretty much it. But that third and fourth quarter especially, just dragged on forever. Just, you know, penalties and like people really taking their sweet time making play calls, but like throwing the ball a lot of just sloppy. Neither of these football teams are all that good. I think Silverado definitely has some talent and is pretty good. But they've
It'll
got
be
some.
Interesting to see what happens with them in the playoffs. Yeah,
they've got some big holes. Like their special teams is just
another fumbled punt.
Bad. Yeah. You know.
How does that continue to happen?
It was that, you know, like a you know, they can't have trouble getting punts off. They have trouble, you know, kicking it any amount of distance when they do get it off. Receiving punts, they are not confident doing. You know, they are not returning punts, really. You know, it's kind of like, oh, if it comes right to me, I maybe will try to catch it, you know. Like, Flukas was not back there tonight, kind of unsurprisingly, because he was struggled against Barstow catching footballs that came off of people's feet.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it can be definitely...
It's very hard. I'm not trying to, like, undersell how difficult it is.
Yeah, it definitely can be a very tricky thing, and I think that's why you see so many times there really aren't a lot of punt return.
It's pretty common up here for teams to struggle with that. That is not abnormal.
Just to yell, poison, poison, yeah. Poison is the ball.
Get away! Get away!
It's like, we don't care if the ball is going to come...
That ball has cholera all over it. Do not touch it.
We don't care if the ball is coming down inside the 5-yard line.
Right, exactly.
We're better off starting at the 3-yard line
than giving them the ball at the 30, basically.
Yeah,
right.
It's I mean, you know, it's tough because, you know, a lot of the kickers aren't like particularly great kickers. They're sort of hitting low hanging kicks that are hitting turf that is not, well, not turf even, but, you know, they're hitting ground that's not very even and has a lot of, and, you know,
I mean, even
that,
the dirt
oblong
fields,
football,
right. Yeah,
on any any surface does weird things. So yeah, I definitely saw like that in my game today. A Sultana kid fielded a punt that he really shouldn't have and almost ended up in a safety.
Yeah. There was one point in this game where Silverado had the ball, throws an interception. It's like, wow, it's a big, you know, maybe a big swing in this game. And then literally the next play, Victor throws an interception. I was like, okay, well, why are we still doing this, guys? What are we doing out here? What's... You know, I don't know. Kind of a weird game. Latavion Staples is incredible, though. Just,
only
wow.
Played a half?
Only played a half, had 2 touchdowns. First play of the game. His first play of the game.
Yeah.
Had a touchdown reception. And yeah, he's just. And these weren't even ones where he really had to do a ton of work. Well, the second one he did. The second one he got some real good blocks and had good reads. But the first one, you know, was just like athleticism, jumping up and grabbing a pass. Yeah, if he sticks around next year, Silverado's going to have some weapons. So, that's nice. Silverado gets to play Granite next week, so I'm sure backups will get some time. Victor plays St. Margaret's on the road, and then that's it for them.
Yeah, and I would assume what Sam Taylor's little brother.
Yeah, Levi Taylor will start. Yeah, next.
And I don't know how good he is, but you know, obviously having the name recognition, you kind of feel like, you know, maybe there's similar genes, similar, you know.
He's bigger than Sam is, so I think he'll be good.
I think I saw him like real briefly. Yeah, at the me end too. Of the game,
they have not used him a whole lot this year in the backup role.
Yeah. It's hard to say where that's gonna go.
Yeah, I mean, so
again, the name recognition makes you kind of feel like, well, maybe there's something there. Might not be, but
yeah, I know that Silverado's JV team was up 30-6 at halftime yesterday, and that's a Levi Taylor start, so that, you know, says something. So yeah, we'll see. That's gonna be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how that team kind of grows and evolves next year. It's really tough for Victor. There's so few kids on that sideline that just, you know, if they're down in the fourth quarter, it's just, you know, yeah, you can condition them all you want or whatever. That's tough.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, just brutal. Simple numbers game.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't really know what the way forward is for them. You know, it's just tough. It's a tough situation.
I feel like Morris said they got more kids out this year. You know, I don't know, like, what levels of the program each of those kids are.
Yeah, I mean, even having kids to start the JV team would be a positive. If that means that they're going to actually progress and come up next year, for sure. So, that's the DSL. Okay. You're at the key game tonight.
Yeah, it's a real rivalry game. They play
an actual one, with the trophy and everything.
Yeah, for a big old key.
Wow.
I don't think it opens any doors, and if it does, then those doors are pretty big, or at least
be a large door.
The handle and the knob and the whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a pretty good game. It was fairly exciting, you know. It's, you know, a balancing act of the game really doesn't mean anything in the standings and the postseason. These two teams are out of it. They have not had great seasons for the most part. They've had moments, but not for the most part, especially not lately. But, yeah, there's still passion there. I think the game still mattered. I was encouraged to see the crowd for both sides there. They...
This was at Hesperia, right?
Was that Hesperia? I felt like Sultana may have had more people. They were certainly louder, because I was on the Hesperia sideline the whole time, and I heard Sultana quite often. Okay. So that's cool to see. I was encouraged by it.
Yeah, for sure.
Excuse me.
It was a relatively close game, 28-15. That's actually not bad. I thought that if Gleason played, that this might turn into a blowout, but...
Yeah, and he was very good.
He is very good. They're going to miss him.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss it.
You know, I definitely got the quotes after the game from both Gleason and Topete about, like, oh, it's not, you know, it's a team game, and, you know, everybody, and, you know,
yeah.
of course, everybody executed, did their jobs as well, but, you know, when you're the quarterback, that's a pretty important position. He did very well. He looked great from the start. We know we had heard that he wasn't going to play or was really fighting a back injury, and, you know, you know, backs sound bad.
It does. Especially given his injury history as far as concussion stuff goes. You always wonder if how much, you know, one impacted the other. They wouldn't tell us, you know. I mean, kid goes down and gets a back injury because he slammed into the ground. You know, I imagine that your head hits the ground as well. So I know that was...
Yeah, kind of... So from what I've gathered, it has... The whole injury has like a sort of whole subplot of its own. And, you know, injures the... I think in the third quarter, I think he'd already come out with like a... finger, thumb injury, yeah. Something like that against Serrano earlier in the game, then went out for good with a back injury. Started this week not feeling very good. I talked to Topete Tuesday. He said they were preparing for Plan B. Didn't sound very encouraged about it. Gleason tweeted on Wednesday that he wasn't going to play. Talked to the Sultana coach, Locklear. He said that they believed that he was going to play the entire time.
Yeah, that's what I heard, too. I've talked to some people even on the Silverado sideline. Like, oh, yeah, you know, Eddie Gleason playing. He's like, oh, yeah, of course he's playing. He's like, oh, that's classic Topete, is what one of the Silverado coaches said, which, yeah, right. Shifty behind those yellow goggles.
And I wasn't there, you know, like super, super early. I got there, maybe like 6:30-ish, a little bit after there. And supposedly he didn't come out for warm-ups to start.
Come on.
They really carried on this ruse for quite a while.
I don't even know why, though. Like, what's the point? If you have him, you're going to win. So just like, yeah, we're going to have him, and then we're going to win.
And, you know, if, you know, Sultana, from what Locklear said, you know, they didn't bite. They prepared.
Yeah, I talked to Chris Fore yesterday, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'm not sure if Eddie Gleason's going to play. And he kind of looked at me with, like, Do you really believe that? Do you? Because I think they knew he was playing.
So yeah, like if you were even able to sell it by that point, like there's just nothing you can change almost
right.
than pregame warmups. I mean, you can alter your overall strategy a little bit, but
I guess I mean yeah, right.
If you've prepared to face a quarterback who has a running ability and can pass and all that.
I prepare to face a very dynamic quarterback, and now here's one that's less dynamic. Oh, boy, I studied too much. We're in trouble now. I can't get higher than an A+. What was the point?
I hated when that happened in school.
Well, I also did. I was, right. What a waste of time.
So, Locklear told me that's what happened, so. Supposedly.
And there you go.
I didn't see it. But, yeah, I definitely saw him come out for the pregame coin toss, and when I saw him in pads, I assumed that meant he was playing. And he played very, very well.
As he is wont to do.
Picked up 50 yards on his first two carries. Sperry's second series threw a touchdown. Had the same amount of passing and rushing yards.
Wow, interesting. Nice symmetry. Nice. all right. So, yeah, that's that game. The big game tonight, should we talk about that? Or do we have more on this game?
I'm trying to think of the same.
We could always circle back to it. Our producer's going to be okay with it. I checked with him before the show.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. Yeah, Gleason LeVay Williams played pretty good. Sultana's rushing attack was pretty good.
Yeah, it seemed like they actually had some success on the ground, which
that's
nice for them.
They did pretty well.
They turned the ball over also five times.
Five times. Yeah, that you just can't
That is a great way to lose. Just, yeah, terrific.
Yeah. That was bad. One of their interceptions came on a fake punt. So you go from maybe getting it on fourth down to of course. Well, I guess the strategy on that. I mean, depending upon how good of a punter you have. Certainly, that one game for Apple Valley I covered, they would have been better just faking and having it intercepted than.
Yeah. Wow, that's actually not a terrible idea. Why don't you just give it up and you just chuck the ball in the air. I mean, the guy who's going back for the punt return is probably going to try to catch it. And you just go crush him. Are you allowed to do that?
You'd have to guarantee that the kid would catch it, because otherwise you just back at the original line.
Well, right. Scrimmage. Yeah, you really hope that he catches it in that situation, obviously, yeah.
It's a lot of hoping.
Well, I mean, at this point, we're so bad at kicking that we're going to throw the ball instead. I feel like you're there. All right.
But yeah, so Sultana's offense looked a little bit better, but they still have a ways to go. And I know Locklear keeps talking about getting that passing game going. I'm going to guess that it's not.
He really wants to run the spread.
I don't think it's going to be happening this year. I mean, we'll see what happens in that last game. But,
Chris Ford saying that they ran the wing T, I think, at the beginning of the year, and
they've transformed quite a bit.
Yeah.
So that's going to come with its own set of challenges, and there's a reason why you spend. Like 3 or 4 months in the off season installing certain things, only to have them change on the fly as you're trying to prepare week to week is kind of a problem. But
right,
so they'll get there, but this year probably will not get them. They will not be there.
True. Okay. The other big game of the night, the non-rivalry edition, was the Oak Hills Burrows game, which we assume actually happened and wasn't an illusion, Ridgecrest tonight. Obviously we don't know a ton about it. Brandon Porter had a great game. He factored in all 4 touchdowns, 3 passing, 1 rushing.
Started off bad for Oak Hills. They fumbled the opening kickoff. And then after that, they did pretty good.
Well, so, there you go. It's all uphill from there. Holding Burroughs to 10 points, that's, in my opinion, the most impressive part of the whole win.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, Burroughs looked fantastic in the game I saw against Apple. Oak Hills has had its struggles. It's always hard to figure out, what Oak Hills we are looking at because, sure they've lost. I'm sure that some of those were, shooting themselves in the foot kind of losses. Mm. But they were still against good teams.
Sure. Well, that's why you get burned because sometimes, you can shoot yourself in the foot and still be a very slow person in a race, so to speak.
I'm not going to try that.
I mean, theoretically, a very slow person probably. Yeah, so I mean, if Oak Hills has really cleaned up on the penalties and stuff, then they could actually be a factor in the playoffs. So that's all they needed to do. I mean, I know that's kind of what we've said all along. It's like, well, if they get to where they need to be by, you know, week 11, so to speak, then whatever. Yeah, you know, winning the league doesn't matter. I know it matters. And if Toronto didn't win the league last year, went to the championship game because it was a good team. And
yeah, we'll see. I mean, I don't know how not being ranked right about now is going to affect you know, their playoff seeding. They may have to have a little bit harder of a path to the championship game or in.
I think the reality is it's like just a matter of how early are we going to maybe win or lose against Palm Springs, basically. So they'll probably be on Palm Springs' side of the bracket, and then, you know.
Yeah.
And God bless you. Good luck with that. That's not how that goes.
They are pretty good.
I think they are better this year than last year. So
yeah, someday we're going to have to talk a little bit in depth about them. But
not today. Yeah, right. So Serrano, sort of speaking of them, beat Apple Valley 48-13.
And also talk about all three of those teams, not including Apple. So Serrano, Oak Hills, Burroughs, because that is the tangled web at the top of the MRL. Serrano, number one, undefeated. Burroughs and Oak Hills are tied with one loss each. So if Burroughs were to win and Oak Hills beats Hesperia next week, that would create a three-way tie atop the MRL.
So who gets the number one seed there? Because everyone beat Coin each flip. Other. Oh, God. All right. Great. So, yeah, so that Serrano-Burroughs game should be real good next week, and that'll be in Phelan. So you can get a chance to see the Burroughs in person. Whoa. Yeah, all right.
What do you want to say about the game itself?
What? The
Serrano.
Oh, yeah. Apple. Whatever. Serrano's better than Apple. Serrano beat Apple. Sultan had 3 touchdowns.
How many yards do you have? Do you remember?
Oof. 250 something? Oh, hey, so yeah, did he get
to, I'm pretty sure he would have. Yeah. Crossed 2,000 yard mark.
I think he had touchdowns on his first 2 carries also.
Yeah, I saw that he had like a 50 some yarder on.
It's just too easy. Playing on rookie out there. Try bumping up the difficulty level, kid.
That's the incredible thing is whenever you know teams are gearing to stop you, and they've been told all week, stop him. Stop. We're aligning you in this way. We're doing this for this reason to stop him. We're not going to focus on anything else. We're going to stop Sultan Sullivan. And it
doesn't work.
It hasn't happened, whether it's been Norco, whether it's been Oak Hills, whether it's been anybody.
Literally anyone. Nobody has effectively stopped him. Has he had fewer than 3 touchdowns in a game? Maybe once, but I don't think so. Which is ridiculous.
The least amount of yardage he's had, I think, was last week, like 100-something.
Yeah, it's because he scored his touchdowns too quickly.
Yeah, and even then he didn't play a ton, so.
Yeah, amazing. So that's Serrano Burroughs. That's the big game next week for sure. So that's all MRL action. Barstow had a running clock during the entire second half and won 63-0 over
Granite. They were, 59-0 at halftime?
Is that what it was? Wait. How did they score? Did they get 2 safeties? Oh, that would be so sad.
Like I said, it's possible. I was thinking at first that's not even possible. I mean,
it is technically possible, but I hope that's not what happened. And that would be soul-crushing. Well, you look that up. Adelanto lost to Laguna Hills in a non-league match game, 35-21, which actually I think is a pretty good showing for the Saints.
56-0.
Okay, so they scored 1 touchdown.
Yeah.
Barstow keeps on rolling.
I mean, that's...
They've got Adelanto next week at home.
Yeah. And no.
Oh, is it Adelanto? I'm sorry. At Adelanto. This game was at home today. Right, my bad.
Yeah, I mean, with a double wing, I mean, there are just some teams that just... They're not going to be able to stop. Especially whenever you're that much stronger. And,
it's bigger, physical.
Yeah. So that's where you get a score like that at the 56 points and a half is pretty incredible. And whenever you have a team that just can't stop that, I mean, it's just...
I think Brandon Pierce had 3 touchdowns in the first quarter.
Yeah. There's just no competition.
Yeah. So like I said, Atlanta lost to Laguna Hills 35-21. The only other game that we have a score for was Hamilton, Riverside Prep, and Riverside Prep lost 49-6. Mojave 8th also allegedly happened, but we don't know. It's a mystery. Oh, and tomorrow Desert Christian plays at Silver Valley, or today.
And Sperry Christian lost.
Oh, yes, you're right, to Upland Christian. Yeah. So, wah wah. We'll kind of see how playoffs for 8-man are kind of weird since they're in different divisions and stuff. So, we're supposed to find out Sunday. Is the at-large bid? Yeah, it is Sunday. I looked it up on the CIF.
Oh, so they'll tell you who the at-large bids are.
Yeah.
And I think the bracket.
Oh, yeah, right.
On Monday.
Okay, that makes sense. It's weird they're doing anything on Sunday, honestly. Why don't you just release it all on Monday?
We're just a week away from the final shebang for the regular season, and we'll see the playoff brackets soon thereafter. I think that probably gets released on...
following Monday?
Sunday, I think. Okay. If not Saturday, I think it's Sunday.
They could do it Saturday, but anyway, I actually have no idea. All right.
And then all this week we'll have other playoff matches.
Volleyball's not until next week, right? Tennis is this week. I think that's what it is. There's still league matches happening this week. So I think they're a week delayed. It depends on
really?
The... Yes.
Huh, because it'll be a pretty empty week then, I think, because volleyball, I think, wraps up by Tuesday, at least locally.
Yeah.
But yeah, they won't.
I don't think they won't start
until
the week after.
Yeah, they normally don't do it until...
They'll start that, Saturday, I think, or something weird. Casey Kemble was telling me, Riverside probably was saying something about that. But I think, yeah, great. We should go on vacation. Oh, you are going on vacation. Ugh, the worst. I should go on vacation, too. Jeff can handle it.
You can come along.
Where are you going?
Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember.
Pittsburgh and Ohio.
In November. It's too cold.
Which you're, I hear you on the Ohio.
Well, which part of Ohio? Wait, the joke is, it doesn't matter. Boo! I hope Brandy doesn't listen to this podcast.
Oh, she doesn't, no.
Yeah, she doesn't listen when we talk in general, let alone a podcast listening to us talk.
Here's an MP3 of us saying some important things.
And Brandy takes the MP3 and puts it in the garbage
disposal. Here's my earphones. What?
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, we'll be back. Oh, so I guess we won't be back on Tuesday with the podcast?
No. Oh, I'm here this next week.
Oh, wait, you're here this week. It's the following week?
Yeah.
Oh, Jeff gave me mixed information. Okay, never mind. We'll be back with the podcast on Tuesday. I can't wait.
And
there will be pizza.
All right.
I'm dead. Calling my shot. Speaking of, Latavian Staples comes onto the field, first play, and I'm standing next to Chris Taylor, Sam Taylor's dad, and he says he's going to have a touchdown on this play, and he did. It's like Babe Ruth. Incredible. All right.
I hope Latavian Staples was where that moment was going.
Yeah, right.
Went out to the outfield, so to speak.
Yeah. Put into the end zone. All right, that's it. That's week 9 of the prep football season. Whoa.
So enjoy your Halloween. Dress up as your favorite sports hero or something.
Whatever.
Or veg out on candy.
Oh yeah, we're going to be in the office tomorrow, so maybe we'll get some candy. Thoughts?
I hear we have some back at the house.
Excellent.
I hear there was some trick-or-treating at daycare.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Great. So. All right. I'm excited. All right. Well, yeah. We'll talk to you guys. You know, later. Goodbye.
Woo.